Hey, everyone. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. It's your host, Mike Wobshaw. This is the latest edition of the Wobcast, a Thanksgiving edition of the Wobcast. It is a short week and there is a holiday in here, but that doesn't mean we can't come to you with a fresh edition of the Wobcast. So here we are, and I'm with producer Nate Vaughn in TCO Studios at Winter Park. Happy Thanksgiving, Nate.
Thanks, Wobby. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you. It will be a happy one. We'll be away from family, which is nothing to be happy about, but we will have an up-close look at a very cool NFL tradition, football on Thanksgiving, and we get to take part in it. The Vikings play at Detroit. Detroit plays every Thanksgiving. The Vikings do not, but they play this year. It's my first foray into Thanksgiving football in the NFL, and I'm looking forward to it. Are you?
I am. I'm excited to see just how different it feels from a normal game, which is admittedly very exciting still.
Yes, and we're walking into a place that does this every single year. The Detroit Lions play a home game every Thanksgiving, so they're very familiar with this. The Vikings, of course, are not. The Vikings have played on Thanksgiving, and actually, the Vikings playing on Thanksgiving is the subject of what's coming up next here. It's a treat for you guys. If you haven't caught this already on Vikings.com, you're going to love this. Everyone listening, of course, you're avid Vikings fans, but most of you listening will remember the 1998 Thanksgiving Day game the Vikings had in Dallas against the Cowboys, where Randy Moss had 3 catches for 1 million yards and 3 touchdowns. Well, the NFL, NFL Network, and NFL.com took an in-depth look at that game and Randy's performance in a piece that they have titled Grudge Match, Moss versus the Cowboys. Elliot Harrison and Mark Istook, NFL media personalities, and also Brian Billick, who is with the NFL media and was the Vikings offensive coordinator for that game. Those three take a look back at that game and how Randy Moss destroyed the Dallas Cowboys, what went into it, the Dallas perspective of it, the Vikings perspective of it, and the whole kit and caboodle. It's a really cool feature, and here it is for you to listen to right now.
One of the great things about being a Cowboys fan is every year at Thanksgiving, you are guaranteed a Cowboys game. And for people like me who grew up in the state of Texas, you plan the meal around game time for the Cowboys.
Minnesota Vikings and the Dallas Cowboys from Texas Stadium. And John and I'll be back for the opening kickoff when this Fox NFL special continues.
The 1998 Vikings were on a path to be a historically great team, at least from an offensive perspective.
We were chasing the all-time scoring record, which was important to them.
Randall Cunningham comes in and plays lights out.
And Jake Reed opposite Chris Carter, Hall of Famer in the slot. That was a tremendous offensive group.
But the secret sauce, if you will, was Randy Moss.
Hi, Mom. Happy Thanksgiving.
There's been different speculation as to why Randy Moss fell in the draft. I think maturity would probably be number one.
Well, Denny Green came to me early in the morning, and he said, Brian, we're going to get Randy Moss. And I thought, there's no way we're going to get Randy Moss. We were picking at, what, 21, 22, and Randy Moss, he was going to be a top 10 pick.
At that point, Michael Irvin was in year 11. A lot of people thought, boy, Randy Moss could really help out Troy Aikman.
He was available for Dallas to take him, but those character questions had Jerry Jones going a different direction.
Denny knew all along that Dallas wasn't going to take him, and I don't know how he knew, but this is the way Denny Green operated. He was a brilliant personnel man.
Jerry was so nervous after dealing with the problems with Michael Irvin and all of the different run-ins with the law that the Cowboys on the Super Bowl teams had. He just felt like Randy Moss wasn't worth the risk.
Dallas Cowboys select defensive end from North Carolina, Greg Ellis.
It's a really good question. Why Jerry Jones, given his track record of taking guys that have a little bit of a risk attached to them, why not then?
I was aware of Moss. I knew what a dynamic talent was. I'd looked at some film, but I hadn't done the detailed research on him simply because it was one of those, hey, there's no way we're going to get this kid. But when he got past the top 10, he got past Dallas, there was a void in there. And as the day kept going on, I'm thinking, my God, Denny's right. We ended up with Randy Moss.
The Minnesota Vikings have selected wide receiver from Marshall University, Randy Moss.
I can't even tell you who we drafted the rest of the draft. I just was so excited. I went back to go back to look at all the film and really dissect what this guy was about and then get back on the chalkboard and kind of figure out how we're going to get this guy the ball because he was a tremendous talent.
I'm going to come here and try to do the best I can to rip the NFL up.
Robert Smith is back from Minnesota. And he is throwing it back to Cunningham, the old flea flicker.
The flea flicker call was an excellent call by Brian Billick.
When you've got that kind of talent, you have kind of a lot of leeway to do a lot of things. It's not like you could configure deep just to take away the deep ball because our running game and Chris Carter would have carved you up.
And if you do a play fake or a flea flicker where you're running to Robert Smith, the defense has to honor it.
So it seemed like a fun thing to start off with.
Open is Randy Moss, and in the end zone is a Minnesota touchdown. Yep, you know they were going to do it. The fans knew they were going to do it. The Dallas Cowboys knew they were going to do it. You knew they were going to do it early.
And obviously, the good thing is down the field when you're talking about Randy Moss, he can be not open, he can be open. Doesn't matter. The play's likely going to work.
Here's Kevin Smith here, and you're going to see him take a little bite there.
Kevin Smith was a very good player early in his career.
He looks back, he sees the pitch, and by now it's too late.
He couldn't keep up with Randy Moss speed-wise. And size-wise, Randy Moss clearly had a height advantage.
He was no match for Randy Moss.
Because Randy Moss, with Deion Sanders out, could be the fastest player in the NFL.
I only had Randy for 1 year, and people always ask me, how was Randy to work with? He was a dream to work with for me.
Now it's going to get fun because they got a pressure. So there's going to be some flash lightning calls in the huddle. They got a pressure now, so we ain't done.
I had the perfect receiving core to mentor Randy to come into the league, and he was highly motivated. He was on a mission to show all those teams that passed on him what a mistake that was.
Here's Cunningham back to throw it and going deep, and he's got Moss.
Second touchdown's what I would say was Randy Moss-esque.
We were really beginning to understand that two guys on Randy Moss did not mean he was covered.
You can clearly see that Randall Cunningham is just throwing the ball up and letting Randy run under it.
And there's a flag on the play, and Moss has caught the pass and is in the end zone anyway. Touchdown, just throw it as far as you can.
This guy is amazing. Randall Cunningham was telling us last week that Moss just tells him, Hey, dog, just chunk it in the end zone. That's exactly what he does.
And we had touchdown number.
And Denny would never tell you what to do, but he would suggest at times. And I remember Randy would make some kind of play, and he'd go, Brian, I don't want to tell you what to do, but I'd do a whole bunch more of that if I were you.
First and 10, Minnesota. Clock ticking down to end the third quarter. They lead by 10. The Cowboys showing blitz.
Randy Moss's third touchdown, I would qualify as unfair.
That wasn't the play call, that little one-step hitch. But Randall saw the matchup and see that they had over-rotated. There was no help over the top. And he and Randy just kind of looked at each other like, I can't believe they're doing this. How about I just give you the ball?
Randy Moss breaks a tackle, and Randy Moss races down the sideline, and Randy Moss just outruns everybody into the end zone. He is incredible.
Charlie Williams, a guy the Cowboys had drafted to be a safety, 3 years before, they're playing him at corner.
There's Charlie Williams, and you're going to see it's just a little 3 yard go. Charlie Williams is there. He makes a poor tackle or no tackle.
He overran the play. And Moss, that was the thing. He could go from 0 to 60 in no time.
And then when Randy Moss gets here, he just outruns everyone. I mean, he is fun to watch.
Phillips had the angle, he had everything.
Yeah, you know, angles and all those things don't mean anything against speed.
We knew the Cowboys were going to have a hard time stopping the Vikings that day, but had no idea that Randy Moss was this good.
Three catches, three touchdowns, 163 yards.
My gosh, what are we playing, Tecmo Super Bowl here?
This was just salt in the wound for Cowboys fans who felt like he should have been in Dallas.
He's fired up, and that's the way you talk to a guy like that. You just start punching him.
The fact that it was Thanksgiving game, it was special. You knew the whole world, whole country was watching. The fact that it was in Dallas and obviously all that meant, being on the road, that was one of the most memorable games I have of that magical year with Randy Moss.
All right, a few takeaways from that, Nate. Brian Billick said that he doesn't even remember who else the Vikings drafted that year because he didn't expect to get Moss. Then they got Moss. And he hadn't done his recon on Moss. because they thought he'd be long gone by the time they got to pick 21, which is where the Vikings were. So when they actually took Moss, Billick was like, I had to go to the film room and figure out how we're going to use this guy. Well,
I'd safe to say he kind of figured it out.
Yeah, I'd say he did a good job of that. It wasn't a tremendous draft class after Moss, but there is one notable name in there. Matt Burke was also drafted that year, the center from Harvard. Now, Billick didn't get to work with Burke very much because he moved on to the Baltimore Ravens, became their head coach, and won a Super Bowl there. But Matt Burke obviously became a mainstay in the Vikings offense for like a decade. So Matt Burke also taken that year. That game, Nate, you growing up in Iowa, maybe a Chiefs fan, maybe a Vikings fan. I don't know what your allegiance was back then.
I did grow up a Chiefs fan.
A Chiefs fan. So a lot of people in Iowa do. So that game, maybe for you, you remember it because it happened and you remember things that happened in the NFL. But for Vikings fans, that was a where were you moment. You remember where you were watching that game.
Yeah, and as someone who didn't grow up a Vikings fan, it was almost more about, holy cow, who's this team that just put the beat down on the Cowboys?
Yeah.
Like, the best team that's ever been.
Right.
And so, like, from the outside perspective, that's when everybody else kind of took notice of what was going on here in Minneapolis.
Yep. Particularly with Randy Moss, too. And everyone rips on the Cowboys for not taking Moss that year. And it's, you know, they talk about that in the piece as to the reasons why Jerry Jones maybe didn't go with Randy Moss, with some of the character concerns of other players and some of the baggage that Moss had. And the Cowboys wound up taking a pretty good player. Greg Ellis was a good player for them, a defensive end, and they took him eighth overall. And in fact, Mike Zimmer says really good things about Greg Ellis and the type of player he was. And he's had Greg Ellis here at Winter Park as a kind of guest coach, you know, with some of our current defensive linemen. But another team that I think does not ever really get scrutinized for their decision to not take Moss is the Tennessee Titans. And here's why I think maybe you could, is because they actually took a receiver ahead of the ahead of Randy Moss. They picked 16th that year. So the Cowboys didn't take him, but they took a defensive end. The Titans didn't take him either, but they took a receiver. Kevin Dyson. Okay, who I think he had a decent fine career. Yeah, it was fine. Played in the Super Bowl.
Easy for me to say. Had a decent NFL career.
Right. But, I mean, he didn't have the career that Randy Moss had. So I think that's an interesting note from that draft as well. The score of that Cowboys-Vikings game was 46-36, by the way. You don't see many 46-36 games.
Nope, we haven't.
No, we definitely haven't. And my final takeaway from that, I loved listening to Pat Summerall and John Madden when I was growing up and watching the NFL. I thought they were a dynamite tandem. They were with CBS for a little bit. They were with Fox. I remember them with Fox doing a bunch of Cowboys-Niners games, doing a bunch of Cowboys games on Thanksgiving. Madden had such a unique way of calling games. He was able to speak intelligently about it, but also speak to the common man, to the layman. And I think you can rip him for the way he was speaking to the layman during his broadcast, but really when you think about how many people are watching it and the spectrum of intelligence level of fans who are watching, he was able to talk to all of them.
Yeah, it's not like he didn't know his stuff.
Right.
You know, being the head coach of the Oakland Raiders for so many years.
Right. Hall of Famer. He just knew that he was talking to really, really smart football people, but also some surface level football people watching the games. But anyway, one of my favorite parts of that piece that we just listened to was, you know, Pat Summerall was like, so-and-so had the angle on that play and Moss just ran right by him. And John Madden, in a very simplistic but profound comment, says, angles and all those things don't mean anything against speed. And that's a very simple comment, but it's also very true. And it made me think about Cordero's kickoff return touchdown last week.
Yeah.
You know, Arizona had guys in position, but Cordero was just too fast.
Yeah, he's taken some back that have been basically straight shots. This one he had to weave back and forth quite a bit. And still nobody ended up close to him.
Right. And then Cordero, Xavier on his, I mean, Carson Palmer had to run like 20 yards to get him Xavier had to run about 40 yards to get past Carson Palmer, and Xavier still beat him. And I'm not knocking Carson Palmer. He's a quarterback and a very good one at that. Not known for his speed, but, you know, speed kills in the NFL. And Moss was one of those guys who, in a league full of fast players, Moss was a standout guy when it came to speed. So, really special player. Those are a few of my takeaways from that piece. Anything else for you to add from listening or watching that? I thought it was super cool. A very good idea by you to throw that in the Wobcast. So,
thank you.
I mean, listeners love that. I mean, and that's why we put it at the beginning of this week's Wobcast, because there are a lot of Vikings fans who became Vikings fans because of that team, the 1998 team.
Yeah, and it was interesting. Coach Zimmer was asked about that game briefly at his press conference the other day, and he didn't talk a lot about it, but it was he smirked and said, no, thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah.
You know, those are the ones we try to forget.
Yeah.
But obviously he had great respect for what Randy Moss could do and what the Vikings could do that season. So.
Yeah, well, when we get to the when we get to Detroit and the team hotel today, we're gonna chat with Pete Bursich, who is obviously the Vikings analyst on the Vikings radio network. He played in that 1998 game, and so we're gonna talk to him for our hotel interview. We might put it on Periscope, so for those of you listening, stay tuned for that. Or if you're listening and it's like it's Thursday or Friday, go back to the website and check that out, because Pete will have a great perspective.
Vikings.com.
Yeah, on Vikings.com. That is the website. When I reference the website, I mean Vikings.com. Should go without saying. All right, let's talk about this game, the Detroit Lions.
Right.
That's who the Vikings play on Thursday, and I think the big storyline in this game, Nate, is that first place is on the line. It's not every week that you get to play with first place on the line, and the Vikings get to do that this week. And there will be five games to go after this one, but for the time being, the Vikings or the Lions, one of those two teams is going to be on top in the NFC North because they won this game, and that's kind of a fun thing to have on Thanksgiving Day, a game with first place on the line.
Especially the way the last 4 or 5 weeks have gone prior to this past game against the Cardinals.
Yeah.
I won't say the Vikings should feel lucky to be in the spot they are in, but, I mean, they definitely realize that they can take advantage of where they are right now.
Yes, agree with that. For the Vikings to emerge victorious in this game, you know, it's a tall task because of some of the challenges that are unique to playing on a short week. You're on the road on a short week, and not only that, but you're doing it and going to a place that handles this situation every year. So there is no novelty to Thanksgiving and Thursday football for the Detroit Lions. They do this every year, and I think they've won 2 or 3 straight on Thanksgiving Day, if I'm not mistaken. On top of that, the Vikings are banged up. The following players have all missed practice this week. Either they've missed every practice or they've missed some time this week because of injury. Terrence Newman, Harrison Smith, Marcus Sherrills, Tom Johnson, Eric Kendricks, Captain Munnerlyn, Mackenzie Alexander, Andrew Sendejo, Stephon Diggs. Other than that, we're pretty healthy.
Yeah. Other than that.
Yeah. So the Vikings are banged up. They're on a short week. They're on the road. And they're going into an environment that handles this every single year. So this is a tall task for your Minnesota Vikings. And they just lost to this team 3 weeks ago. And this team has had a bye since that game. So this team is rested up and is not as banged up as the Vikings. When you look back to that Week 9 game, Sam Bradford had 40 passes. He played very well. Stephon Diggs had 13 catches, which is why his injury right now is notable. Hopefully he can play, but if he can't, someone else will have to step up. Also, the Vikings lost that game, but if you remember, they had Matthew Stafford and this Lions offense shut down for about, 58 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
They had like 200 total yards of offense before the final drive of the fourth quarter, in which they marched down and scored to tie the game, and then marched down on the opening drive of overtime to win the game. So this should be a pretty good battle. Hopefully the Vikings can have most of those defensive players in the lineup so they can have an encore performance from what they did in Week 9 against this offense. But you never know about those injuries until we get there. A couple of other notes on this matchup. The Vikings will play on a Thursday next week as well. They host Dallas on a Thursday, but it's not a short week because this game is on a Thursday. So it's a Thursday to Thursday week for your Vikings. So for those of you who are in tune with our content and our schedule, it will be different this week. While you are resting and relaxing on your couches this weekend, digesting turkey and stuffing, Nate and I and the VEN group will be here at Winter Park working, because the Vikings will begin their prep for the Dallas Cowboys over the weekend. And so you'll see tons of content on Sunday and into Monday.
And when the schedule was first released, you had sort of an interesting perspective on that Thursday game following the Thanksgiving game.
Yeah.
Saying that, schedule-wise, at least, this is me lining up excuses for our football team.
Right.
Schedule-wise, that might not be the greatest benefit, or not a full benefit for the Vikings. Yeah. Why is that?
Yeah. When you are hosting a Thursday game, the benefit is you're getting a team on a short week who has to travel to you. So they play Sunday and they travel Wednesday. That means they're missing out on a day of practice that you get, and they have to deal with a short week. Well, the Cowboys also play on Thanksgiving. They host the Washington Redskins. They play every Thanksgiving. They play this year on Thanksgiving. And so the Thursday to Thursday game for them, or the Thursday night game for them that they'll play against us, is not a short week. It's a regular week. So we are a rare instance of a host on Thursday who is not getting an opponent on a short week. A scheduling quirk that does not work in the Vikings' favor. So that's too bad. I think we'd be remiss to not congratulate Xavier Rhodes before we go. Defensive Player of the Week. Two interceptions against the Cardinals and Carson Palmer, one of which he took back for a touchdown, 100 yards. Interesting note, Nate, the Vikings have two of the three longest interception returns this season. Xavier Rhodes, 100 yards and a touchdown, is the longest. Eric Kendricks in week one against the Titans.
That seems 70, like a long time ago.
Yeah, seems like 5 years ago. Yeah. But that was this year. 77 yards to house is the third longest.
Wow.
So kind of a cool note for your Vikings defense. Vikings defense, by the way, is playing very well. I know during that four-game loss, a lot of people thought they saw some letdown performances, but not the case. The Vikings defense played well even during that four-game losing streak, and really played well against the Arizona Cardinals last week. So whether they're shorthanded or not, we're going to need another one of those performances against the Detroit Lions defensively on Thursday. Should we quickly go through three threats before we wrap this thing up?
Yeah.
Well, number one for me is short week for the Vikings. Banged up on a short week. Some guys are going to have to step up. Example, if Diggs can't go, maybe this is Laquon Treadwell's time. If Harrison Smith can't go, maybe Anthony Harris can step up and have a big game. You remember late in the year last year against the Arizona Cardinals, we had to have some guys step in there. So I think the first threat for the Vikings is injured on a short week. Number two, Theo Riddick. Vikings did a great job against Theo Riddick a couple of weeks ago, a dual threat running back. But there is a dual threat running back last week that had a pretty good game against us.
Yep.
And Nate, I know you know that because you were on the field shooting it, and you saw lots of David Johnson. Your thoughts on David Johnson, watching him play up close, because he's been one of the best running backs in the NFL this year, and we got an up close look at him last week. What did you think of him?
Yeah, it's kind of surprising how unsuspecting he is. I mean, he's just solid. Like, obviously he's fast, obviously he's strong, but he's not freaky fast or freaky strong. He's just good. If he's being tackled, he's going to gain another 2 yards before he goes down, and he's going to catch, you know, quick slants out of the backfield, stuff like that. He's just, one of those was a touchdown catch. Yeah. So he sneaky, if you can call it, he sneaky gained probably over 150 total yards.
Yeah, 180.
And two touchdowns on us. So to the Vikings' credit, one of the things you've been talking about all year is the Vikings taking away the number one option.
Mm-hmm.
Statistically, he had a good game, but in the end, the Vikings won.
Right. They overcame
He wasn't so good that the Vikings couldn't win.
They really adjusted in the second half. I mean, the Cardinals had 263 yards of offense in the first half. They finished with 290.
Wow.
So 23 or 27 net yards, I think it was. I can't remember which one it was. 23 or 27 net yards of offense in the second half for the Cardinals. So
great. It was good to see a couple sacks, too.
Yes, it
was. Finally getting to the quarterback.
Yes, finally got there. And they earned the right to get to the quarterback and rush the passer by playing great defense in the second half.
Yep.
They earned the right to get after the passer on the final two drives, which is where they got those four sacks. Third threat, I think, here as you get ready to play the Detroit Lions is Ziggy Ansah, who was banged up and not playing up to full speed in week 9 when the Vikings played the Lions. Since then, They've had a bye week and some rest time, and Ziggy had a great game last week. So against the Jaguars, looked really good. We had Pete Bursich break down Ziggy Ansah during the 3M tape segment of Vikings game plan this week. So go to Vikings.com and check that segment out. You can get an up-close look at how well Ziggy Ansah has been playing. He will be matched up against our left tackle, TJ Clemmings, most of the afternoon on Thursday. I got one more thing before we wrap this up.
All right.
I need to know, what is the most indispensable food item on Thanksgiving Day?
So what I need?
Yep. What do you, like, okay. This is number one on your Thanksgiving food power rankings. What do you got?
Well, I'm a big stuffing guy, but I would say the most indispensable part is gravy.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah. God, isn't that good? I knew you'd come at me with one that's underrated.
Because that's part of, you just cover your entire plate in gravy.
So
potatoes,
good.
The turkey, the stuffing, anything else that might find its way upon your plate is soaked in gravy. Yes. A good gravy is tough to beat.
All right. You hit.
Did I steal your thunder?
No, you didn't. I would not have said gravy, but that's a really good one.
Thank you.
Mine, I want to go with green bean casserole because I really don't know that you have a lot of green bean casserole throughout the year, but you might have it throughout the year. You might or you might not, depending on how much you like it. Stuffing, I feel like you don't have.
Right.
So to me, I need some stuffing.
Yeah.
That to me is number one on my Thanksgiving Day power rankings in terms of food is stuffing. Green bean casserole is up there. Not in my top five. Turkey.
Oh, okay. I'm a big turkey guy.
I think it's the worst holiday meat that we eat.
Oh wow. Okay. So you have like Christmas hams,
hams. Some people also have beef. They have prime rib on Christmas Day. So ham or beef is ahead of turkey. Brats on Thanksgiving, ahead of turkey. I mean, brats on the 4th of July. Okay. Brats on the 4th of July.
Yeah, hot dogs, brats. Yep,
ahead. Easter is ham.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think that's ahead of turkey on Thanksgiving. Then you have turkey on Thanksgiving. We do have turkey on Thanksgiving. You have to. It's tradition. And I like turkey. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
In fact, we do ground turkey for like tacos. We don't do beef.
Yeah.
If we make tacos at home, we do turkey. Yeah. So I like turkey, but it's holiday meat. It's at the bottom. I think brats on the 4th of July are number one.
It's a tough thing to crack, though. It's like the NFC East right now.
Right.
The worst team in the NFC East is still pretty good.
Right. Yeah, it's all good. Yeah. Right. Anyway, but to me, it's stuffing. I like yours, gravy. That's really good for you listeners out there. Consider what your Thanksgiving Day food power rankings are and send a tweet to me or something like that. I want to know what they are. At Wobby, that's where you can find me. And Nate and I will review them. And maybe if we find any good ones, we'll bring it up next week on the Wobcast.
Yeah.
All right. I have nothing else. Do you have anything else?
No, nothing else.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Nate and I are thankful for you, the listener, because without you, the listeners, we wouldn't do the Wobcast, and we enjoy doing this. So thanks for listening. Thanks for being great fans. Thanks for your support. Enjoy Thanksgiving. Enjoy football on Thanksgiving. And make sure you tune in over the weekend or early next week when another edition of the Wobcast will be delivered to you as we get ready to play the Dallas Cowboys. So long, everyone. So yeah, I start with